10, 11, and 12 together. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Right, verse 10. He that ministers seed to the sower, that's having to do with physical food. That's necessary, right? But also minister bread for your food, so that's material, and multiply your seed sown. What would that include? Multiply your seed sown. Any hands on that? The first seeds are for food. What is this?
That you spread the gospel message, that will also reap.
That's right. The seed sown. In other words, they can't sow seed, physical seed for food, but they sow the seed of the word. And increase the fruits of your righteousness. What would that include? How are the fruits of their righteousness increased? Tammy?
The fruit of the Spirit.
All right. Through the Holy Spirit, as they live for the Lord, others can see their righteous standing before the Lord and be influenced as well for the better. Then in verse 11, being enriched in everything. What would that mean, enriched in everything? Any hands on that?
Spiritually?
Enriched spiritually. Is there any other hands on that? It's not simply standing alone, but increase the fruits of your righteousness. So other people can see the fruits of your righteousness. Now, how many Christians have a genuine righteousness before God? Any hands on that?
Just the general born-again Christian.
And all genuine Christians have.
Not enough.
Not enough, I said, but there's righteous standing before God, did Tammy?
Well, we have a righteous standing before God, but we have our condition here on earth is still could be not so good.
That's right. We should have our standards here upon this earth in synchronization with the perfect righteous standing before God. Sometimes there's a great divide between those two. And there should not be. We should have a righteous life as well as a righteous standing before the Lord. Both are very important. The fruits of your righteousness. In other words, if you have righteousness, you have some fruit to go along with that, see? Good fruit. And then, what about verse 11, being enriched? Enriched in what? And what does it mean, do you think? Any hands on that? Being enriched? Tammy?
Well, that would mean being made rich.
All right. Mm-hmm. In what way?
Well, it says in all things.
Everything. What does bountifulness mean? The hands on that, Pastor Dan?
Abundance of things.
Abundance, all right. Bountifulness, which causes what if we have that abundance? What does it cause?
To be thankful to God.
All right. Which causes through us thanksgiving to God. We should be thankful for all that He does for us, all that He enriches us in, the thanks of the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, we're just talking about being enriched. You know, this is in everything. You know, God makes us wealthy in all things to overabundance. Mm-hmm. But this is a spiritual thing, mm-hmm. not as some misinterpret and think and try to say that, you know, God promised you wealth and health mm-hmm. and all this. Mm-hmm. Now, you may get that, but yes. that's not what this verse refers to.
It refers to richness and abundance and the things of the Lord. All right, let's read verse number 13, 14, and 15 together.
We didn't go over 12.
Oh, 12. I said, did we read 12 before?
Yes.
All right, administration of this service. What does administration refer to? Any hands on that? The administration of this service. What is administration? What do you think that means? Any hands on that?
Yes, the operation.
Operation, Pastor Dan?
Management.
Yep. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Administration of this service, how to manage it, not only supplies the want of what? Of whom? Of whom? What does it mean, the saints? Every time we have in Scripture the biblical definition of saints, John.
True born again Christians.
True born again, genuine Christians. Does that refer to the saints of the Roman Catholic Church?
No.
No. They may be lost. In fact, probably most of them are lost and bound for hell. Never born again. Because they don't know the truth. They think that the Pope is higher than anything else, and works and mass and all these things and all these different. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who saves people's souls for eternity, turns them into saints. Now, if we're saints, we ought to act like we're sanctified and have something to say. But that's what he's talking about. The ministry, the spirit of administration to glorify God in verse 12, supply the want of the saints. Yes, Tammy.
Isn't that word hagios?
Yes.
Holy ones?
Hagios, that's the holy ones. That's right, separated ones. Holy ones, that's what saints means. The want. What does want mean here? And it has that. What does want mean? Yes, Tammy?
The need.
Need, John?
Need, that's what I was
going to
say.
Anna?
No, I'm sorry, I was just scratching.
Oh, okay. Oh, scratch, not scratch. What's wrong? Fine. Sometimes I misinterpret scratching of the head because the hand's up. Okay. Ministers, do saints, genuine Christians, true Christians, have wants or needs?
Yes.
Absolutely. Every one of us. For genuine Christians. Yes.
Jesus have needs too?
Yes, many ways, but of course he didn't have any need for perfection, or, you know, he had all perfection and righteousness, yes, John?
Oh, no, I was just, I could comment, you know, Jesus being God, one that he needed to have,
right.
But as man also,
perfect
there
man.
Are the same things that any other fleshly body would have needed.
That's true.
Such as sustenance.
As a perfect man, food and lodging, yeah. So on. So the want, the need of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings. How would thanksgivings to God make their needs abundant, or their duties or their ministries abundant? What is the relationship between the thanksgiving unto God and abundant also?
The Lord supplies all of our things that we absolutely need to have, not always what we want,
right.
But the things that are necessary.
Necessary for us. He takes care of, blesses us, and uses us, absolutely. Unto God. We didn't read, Tammy.
It's possible that when we see what God does for us, we realize how abundant it is. So when we give thanks, then we see that when he fulfills our needs, he's really giving us abundance of what we need.
Abundance of what we need, that's right.
Yes.
We should be thankful for that. All right, let's read verse number 13, 14, and 15 together.
Caused by the experiment of this administration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their power prepared for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.
Right, verse 13. Well, by the experiment of this administration. What does that mean, the experiment of this administration, do you think? It has on it. The experiment of this administration.
Well, experiment would be a test.
Test, all right, a good test. Experimental test. Administration, that they glorify God for your professed subjection under the gospel. They glorify God. What would that mean, to glorify God? And who is able to glorify God? Any hands on that?
Is it Jesus?
Well, Jesus could,
well,
yes.
True born again Christians.
True born again
Christians.
Yeah, Tammy?
It says in Scripture, the wrath of man shall praise thee. So anyone can. Even the rocks could cry out. And praise the Lord. So, I mean, there's no limit to who or what. Even creation itself.
Yes.
Right.
But many of the unsaved and unbelievers don't bother, but they can if they would.
Well, but Pharaoh, in his disobedience, God was glorified. So
yes,
true. So you're not asking the same question that I'm answering, but yet I think it is the same question.
All right, so those that are lost can glorify God without being saved.
They don't want. They don't. Maybe not even trying to.
Right. In other words, God can use unbelievers, as He has in the Old Testament, the different Bible things, you know, to do His will, even though they're not saved, they're not Christians, they're not followers of the Lord. They can do His will somehow or another in certain ways. Is that?
Yeah, as Tammy has alluded to, the Lord uses people we see throughout history, particularly in the Old Testament, the example of many evil men that were used to God's to do God's will, thereby glorifying God in that act.
Right, even though they're unsaved and not really Christian.
They might not consciously be aware of it at all.
But sometimes God uses even unbelieving people, pharaohs and other people, to do His will. Then in that verse, experiment of administration, glorify God for your professed subjection. Now what would professed subjection mean as opposed to possessed subjection?
Well, it would be what they say.
Right.
Say what?
It's what they say with their mouth.
What they say with their mouth, professing. Mm-hmm. But possessing subjection means what? Possessed.
That they have it.
They really have it. And to whom should the genuine Christians be subject? To whom should they be subjected? Every genuine Christian.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Word of God subjected under their administration. And so, unto the gospel of Christ. Now, what is the gospel of Christ? Very much misunderstood. Any hands on what exactly is involved? Any hands on that to that?
All men are sinners.
That's part of it. All men are sinners. The gospel means good news. And that's a little bit of bad news, but that's part of the gospel. Is it, Tammy?
God sent His Son to die for those sins. That all men have.
God sent His Son to die for all sins of people, every sinner in the whole world, to die in their place as a sacrifice for their sin. That's part of the gospel, the good news. What else is it part of?
We must be covered by the blood, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ is a covering for their sins. Yeah, Tim?
We must accept what Christ has done for us.
All right.
To pay for the penalty of our sins.
This good news that we're sinners and Christ died for our sins must be accepted. Yes, I am a sinner. Yes, the Lord Jesus died for me. Yes, I accept Him as my Savior. He's my Savior by faith. Without that, this gospel is dead.
John 3:16.
It's dead. Let's say John 3:16. For God,
for God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
And that word believeth means what? Believeth.
Forever.
Could believe. Be forever, but what else?
Believe.
Believe, and what kind of belief is it?
In the heart.
In the heart. Is it genuine or non-genuine?
Genuine.
Can some people, can some people have a half-hearted belief and not a genuine belief and say they believe and don't? Is it possible?
They could say that, but that's only profession.
That's a profession, but not a possession. That's right. So it's very important they continue, they genuinely believe, Lord Jesus, the gospel of Christ. Then for your liberal distribution unto them. What would that involve? A liberal distribution unto them. Who does them refer to?
To non-born-again Christians?
Could be. Could be. Ministration of course I got. Sherman, any liberal distribution? Yeah, tell me.
Well, they have a liberal could refer to the idea of generous, and the distribution is something that they're going to distribute the gift that they're giving them to these people.
What are some of the gifts that they may or should be giving to these unbelieving people? What are some of the gifts that they might be giving?
I don't think they're sending it to the unbelievers.
What other gifts are other than financial gifts? Are there other things?
But that's in the context, it seems like this gift is given to, this is that same gift that was given.
All right. Liberal distribution. I mean, sometimes it is gifts and financial gifts and maybe here, but there's also a distribution of non-material gifts, which might be what?
Prayer.
Could be prayer. Bill?
Indwelling Holy Spirit.
Indwelling Holy Spirit is a gift of God, distribution unto them. Then in verse number 14, by their prayer for you, who's the you referred to here? Any hands on that? Our prayer for you.
Corinthian Church.
Corinthian Church. Mm-hmm. Genuine Christ Church. Prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. What does it mean to long after somebody?
After they pass on?
Till they pass on, right? Possibly. What, Tammy?
The desire of God's best for them.
All right. To long after something, that means you want to receive it. You want to have it in your possession. So you long after people, long after you for your exceeding grace of God in you. So they like to see people who have grace of God. Now, does every genuine Christian somehow, somewhere, either secret or outward, have the grace of God in them? Does every genuine Christian have the grace of God in them? Any hands on that? Yes, they do.
Yep.
God's grace. Getting something we don't...
Saved.
If they're genuine saved, they've been given God's grace. Yep. Given something we don't deserve. Mm-hmm. And then in verse 4, by their prayer for you, it's long after, their prayer for you. Now, is it important for genuine Christians to pray for other people, lost or genuine Christians?
Yes.
Yes, Linda?
No, for everybody.
Yes, we should pray. And pray that, especially if they're lost and unbelievers and not genuine Christians, that they become that way. By genuinely accepting Christ as their Savior and Christ alone. A lot of people want to add a lot of things in addition to that to be saved, don't they? What are some of the things people want to add in addition to genuine faith in the Savior? Pastor Dan?
Great works.
Works, just do works.
Right.
Yes, faith plus works. Is that what God's gospel is? Faith plus all the works we do for everything? Is that the good news?
Nope.
The good news, the gospel, the good works follow genuine faith, follow Christian faith, but it's not the beginning of it. As it says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, but that man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has foreordained that we should walk in them. After we have God's grace and are genuine Christians, then and only then does he want us to do works for him. Mm-hmm. Not works before we're saved, make us saved because we're doing our good works. All the millions of good works will never save us all. Okay?
Right.
Can't be saved that way.
Can't be saved that way.
Right.
And then finally, verse 15. Thanks be to God for what?
Unspeakable gift.
What is an unspeakable gift?
Something that's beyond words.
Beyond words. Pastor Dan?
Salvation.
Yes.
That's right. She's referring to salvation. Unspeakable. In other words, no matter how many words you use to describe it, it's something that can't be completely understood by what we say. Yes.
It's something that's beyond our ability to truly comprehend.
Truly comprehend.
Right.
Truly express. Tammy?
A wonderful grace of Jesus. Those words are in there.
Wonderful grace of Jesus.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find it.
Unspeakable, yeah.
It says something about, something about unspeakable.
Well, we'll listen to that and then we'll close for tonight.
How shall my tongue describe it? Where
yes,
shall it
begin?
What was it?
Undescribable.
Okay. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Wonderful grace, all sufficient for me, for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name. So, by the Second line, how shall my tongue describe it?
So it's unspeakable.
Where shall his praise be?
Unspeakable. That's good. Any other comments or questions before we close tonight? Glad to have you all here. Brother John, would you close the word prayer?